Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, the 23rd of June. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, a landmark law that could reverse the island's current organ donation system may come into effect by January next year. A Manx artist has been shortlisted in an international Psy Art competition and will catch up with the winner of this year's Parish Walk. As always, do get in touch if you want to comment on anything you hear. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or you can email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's join Siobhan Fletcher for the latest news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan.
Fastamai. Tim Wald will be asked to approve a landmark transition to an opt-out system for organ donation at next month's sitting. Called Daniel's Law, the legislation is named in memory of Daniel Boyd, a young Isle of Man resident who tragically died following a road accident. If approved, the legislation will come into force on the 1st of January. The unmanned car park at the former Lord Street bus station site has officially closed ahead of work getting underway on a planned 14-storey development. But not everyone's happy about it. These people have been parking their cars on the site.
It's free, simply it. Like, I don't have to worry about changing a disc.
I think it's a bit of a shame in terms of car parking because we are already limited on spaces, I would say.
Where else is there to park?
Over 51,000 passengers passed through the Isle of Man Airport during this year's TT races, according to race officials. That's in addition to a reported 5% rise in those travelling to Manx shores by sea, with more than 39,400 passengers recorded as of earlier this month. A Manx artist has been shortlisted in an international competition celebrating science and art. Helen Hughes's mosaic Sacred Love explores randomness and pattern through mathematical themes. And over the weekend, nearly 1,300 people were involved in this year's 85-mile parish walk. And when all was said and done, it was Callum Gawn who was crowned overall winner late on Saturday night, while Samantha Bowden won the women's race, finishing joint second overall with second male finisher Tristan Shields. Further afield, the UK's Foreign Secretary has confirmed the first flight evacuating British nationals has left Israel. David Lammy also took the opportunity in the House of Commons to emphasise that the UK will continue to look for a diplomatic solution to the ongoing conflict between the Israelis and Iranians.
I know the whole House will have in their thoughts the many civilians impacted by the fighting.
Meanwhile, the Home Secretary has confirmed plans to prescribe the group Palestine Action under terror laws, and Wes Streeting says an investigation into failures in NHS maternity care in England will report back by December. There are your headlines, News at 6.
Good morning, thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a quick look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. This evening will be dry but largely cloudy with moderate to fresh westerly winds. The cloud will then start to lower and thicken overnight as outbreaks of rain or drizzle develop, those possibly turning heavy at times. Rain or drizzle will then continue at first tomorrow morning, but then a dry interlude will develop for a time with another brief spell of rain in the afternoon. Fresh to strong southwest winds will veer to the west and ease later in the day, top temperatures of 18 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light car commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshorevehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past five now, and Timwald will be asked to approve a landmark transition to an opt-out system for organ donation at its July sitting. It's called Daniel's Law, and the legislation is named in memory of Daniel Boyd, a young Isle of Man resident who tragically died following a road accident. If approved, the new system will come into force from the 1st of January, and anyone over the age of 18, not in an excluded group, will be presumed to consent to organ donation upon death. However, families will always be consulted beforehand. Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford is piloting the legislation through Timwald.
This is the really technical aspect now. So we've got to get the codes of practice in place. It's not as simple as it sounds because there is lots of technical medical information in there around how tissues can be handled, how different transplants can be handled, and all the different elements of that. So there is various different codes. There's about four different orders and also the codes to be laid before Timwald. I'll be bringing those to the July sitting at Timwald, and then once they're passed we can start moving forward. We'll be looking to bring the opt-out system into play next year so that everything's up and running for the start of the new financial year next year.
Any fears that this won't be passed?
I have not had any feedback from colleagues that actually has indicated they are against this. In fact, most of the feedback that I have actually had has been people telling me it's about time, and people over the last few months actually asking where is it, when's it coming forward. I never like to prejudge things politically. I always tend to get surprised when I do. But at the moment, my understanding is that there is certainly a broad consensus across the political spectrum supportive of this, and you know, the exceptional hard work that all those campaigning for this have actually put in.
And what comes next then? A public awareness campaign. This is a year-long campaign, isn't it?
It is. We think it's very important that we actually ensure that there is full awareness of the new system. We've already been running campaigns. We're not just doing it now. There was campaigns after the bill went through. There's been obviously public consultations as well. So it is important now, though, that we do an awareness campaign, assuming these regulations are approved, to actually get people ready for the change.
Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford speaking to Lewis Foster there. Lord Street's car park in Douglas is now officially closed to the public. Barriers were installed last night, with motorists told to remove their vehicles by 6 o'clock. The site, which had been used as an unmanaged car park, is the focus of a major planning application for a 14-storey development, including a multi-screen cinema, apartments, new bus facilities, offices and commercial space. So what impact will the closure have on those who relied on it for parking? Chanel Suku's been speaking to those who used it.
It's free, simply it. Like, I don't have to worry about go changing a disc. You see the amount of cars that are parked in here, they are on top of each other. Like, you get blocked in here pretty much every day. Where are all these cars going to park now? So even if I did keep driving into work and paying for parking, there's probably not parking space there.
I think it's a bit of a shame in terms of car parking, because we are already limited on spaces, I would say, especially like right in the centre. I think there's definitely going to be a bit of a problem with parking once that car park also closes.
And then what do you make of the news that from Sunday people have been told to remove their vehicles?
Well, good luck with that. Where do you put them? Where else do you park? And then in that case, where else is there to park? I don't see any many other places.
Is a bit of a pain because I'm only in early, very early in the morning, and I finish, you know, in the morning as well. So it's just in a lot of car parks, they're not open by the time I start work. So it's difficult to try and find somewhere to stop.
Interesting one. Chanel Suku speaking to some of the people who've affected by that closure. Has the closure affected you? Did we park today? Where did you find any issues? Do get in touch with us. 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Well, let's turn to another issue that's sparking debate among motorists. That's the rollout of the 20 mph speed limits. The first of two public drop-in sessions took place at the end of last week, giving residents a chance to speak directly with the Infrastructure Minister about the proposals. It drew a fairly strong turnout, with many residents attending alongside MHK's Rob Callister and Corlett and Joni Farragher. But when we spoke to you, the message that came through time and time again was the rollout shouldn't go ahead.
I think it's completely nonsense. Just leave it as it is. 30 miles an hour is perfect. 20 miles near the schools and it's perfect. Why change if it's not broken? That's it.
This is the government saying Joe Public's not intelligent enough to cope with what he has.
This whole process is absolutely flawed, and I'm really disappointed with how the Department of Infrastructure and how this minister has engaged with the public on this item. I'm strongly opposed of how the department is dealing with this and how they're treating the public on something so important that will have such an effect on our community.
It's a step the right way for safety in residential areas, and those are pure residential areas. I get a little bit annoyed that we're going to be faced with hundreds of new road signs, because no one really likes our natural environment to be kind of coloured with these ugly, you know, signs everywhere. I think that's wrong, and it sends out a wrong message for the island. You know, we're supposed to be a panoramic, beautiful place.
Taxi drivers' fees are going to go up. And who are the people that use taxis? The old age pensioners. So they're going to suffer. Bus schedules are going to have to be changed. At what cost? Who's paying for it? Taxman. Everything about this is costing money. And we've got a bankrupt hospital up the road. Sorry, it don't make sense.
It just feels like our voices are not being listened to. Is this democracy? I think this is just a veil pulled over, and it's just going to happen regardless. It's just, yet again, another waste of money, which seems to be all that our Isle of Man government excels at these days.
I've not met anybody yet who is positive about this, especially in a scenario where the DOI have been spending so much money on a series of questionable projects.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Almost 12 minutes past five, and an MHK says more needs to be done to stop children from ending up in the criminal justice system. This is Onken member Julie Edge, who raised the issue in Tynwald, seeking an update on progress with the Everil report. That report was published in 2006 after an inquiry into the deaths of two young people in care. The Chief Minister confirmed that nearly all 132 recommendations had been implemented by 2013. But Ms Edge has told Phil Gorn she believes there are still areas that need improvement.
When I was the Minister for Education, I raised with the Chief Minister very early on when the UK were talking about the Online Safety Bill. I straight away said we need to be part of this because cross-jurisdictional could happen with any events with our young people. I was assured right up until being the minister that a submissive extent clause had been requested, and most recently I got the impression that that's definitely happened. I think we need to be ensuring that we're ready for this when it comes in the UK, and that the Isle of Man's sitting ready to go as well to protect our young people. I'm very concerned that we seem to have quite a lot of young people in the criminal system, and I'd rather see them not criminalised because that affects impacts their whole life, and looked after in a different way and a different approach, which is what the Everil report was all about. It was a totally different approach. I'm concerned that maybe some of the professionals aren't even aware of the Everil report that are now working in our children's services, and that is a big concern.
Were you reassured by the answers that the Chief Minister gave you?
Not really. I got a big list of we've done this, we've done that. I can send you this. I think what I always aim to do with any questions is to try and get them to think differently. Oh my goodness, we perhaps haven't done this. We should have done this. I'm quite certain that there'll be various officers thinking, actually, we have stopped doing that. Should we have stopped doing that? Particularly around the youth justice team. And, you know, people say, oh, why are you interested? I'm very interested in it because I didn't agree in it going in the first place. I've seen how well it operated when I worked at Ballycomeen High School, and it supported a restorative justice approach for young people rather than criminalising them.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a handful of things to be aware of across the island. We'll start in Douglas. Temporary lights on Broadway near the Victoria Turn for resurfacing work. That's until the 4th of July, so that is till next Friday. In Sandton, temporary lights until the end of the week on the new Castletown Road. That's near Mount Murray for resurfacing. Over in Sulby, temporary lights on Sulby Bridge, 24 hours a day for work on the manholes, and that'll be in place for a little under a month, at the 18th of July, that's in place until. And in Peel for the next week, temporary lights on the main road, that's the A1 near QE2 High School, 24 hours a day for gas work. Nothing else we're being told about by the police, so the assumption is that everything else is ticking along. But if you do spot anything and want to let us know, ping us a text, we'll give it a mention. 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Over on the steam packet, nothing out of the ordinary there. The Mananan is expected in Liverpool in around, 45 minutes at 6 o'clock. Manxman back in Douglas in a little over an hour's time at 6:20. And over at the airport, there are a few things to be aware of that have just popped up on my screen. The 5:20 Dublin, that's the Aer Lingus one, that one's been cancelled. The 6:20 Loganair to Liverpool, is delayed until 5 minutes past seven. Similarly, the Loganair Edinburgh, that one's delayed until 52 minutes past eight, quite specific, that one. Let's take a look at the arrivals board. Obviously, that Aer Lingus one cancelled. The Liverpool Loganair 5:20, no, that one, okay. The screen has now gone back to what it was. 5:50 Manchester Loganair, that one is 6:35. Edinburgh Loganair 28:25, yes. If you manage to keep up with me, then I'm impressed.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside.
This Tuesday at 5:30 here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for a special look back at the Silver Lapwing Awards, which were held here on the Isle of Man.
We chat to the finalists who encouraged and support the wildlife alongside commercial food production and some of the organisers.
It all took place courtesy of Rob and David Cool from the Ballaghorn Farm, who were the winners of the prestigious Silver Lapwing Award last year.
That's all in Countryside, Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 5:30. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past five, and a Manx artist has been shortlisted in an international competition celebrating science and art. Helen Hughes's mosaic, Sacred Love, explores randomness and patterns through mathematical themes. She told me she describes it as a meeting point between religion and probability theory.
My art has always had a mathematical kind of background to it, even though I didn't see it in the past. I started off with large abstracts, and then I moved into a Jackson Pollock style, which still has quite a lot of structure to it. And then now, more recently, since my visit to London and just seeing those Christian icons, I just felt that that was something that I needed to do or wanted to do.
And you said that you've always had a bit of a mathematical background. Where do you think that comes from? Are you involved in maths kind of outside your artistic work, or is that almost a bit subconscious?
Absolutely not. I'm an artist, not a mathematician. But I do think that my brain kind of works in that way. I love pattern, I love vision, I love colour, repeating patterns. I just think this stage that I'm at is like a combination of everything that I love in one. I'm not sure whether it's a coincidence or not, but my son is doing pure maths at Bristol University at the moment, so...
So there's a bit of maths in there somewhere, perhaps.
Yeah.
How long did it take to actually draw the piece all the way from the kind of the first concept all the way through to what it is now?
Yeah, it's a very, very long process, actually. Initially, I just have to try and come up with a design. I kind of look for inspiration through stained glass windows, through religious icons, Christian icons, through my own sketches, and actually I've used AI as well to kind of help bring some of my pieces together.
That's Helen Hughes speaking to me about her mosaic, Sacred Love, and she's been shortlisted. That piece has been shortlisted in an international competition, an international Psy Art competition, something which I've never had to say before. If you are interested in seeing that piece, it is available on the Manx Radio website. Voting closes on the 14th of July. Winners are announced later this year. Do head on over to manxradio.com and give her your support. Approaching 20 minutes past five now, and two local authority by-elections will be taking place next month, one in Port Erin and a second in Ramsey South Ward. Balaff commissioners, Douglas Council and Jobie commissioners also had empty seats, but those have been filled in uncontested elections. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more details.
Three candidates have stepped forward in both areas. In Port Erin, Jimmy Cubbin, Carl Drinkwater and Fenella Gray will contest for two seats. One was left vacant after April and the second is available after the resignation of Mark Morley earlier in May. Those living in Port Erin will be able to vote from 8am until 8pm on Thursday the 17th of July at the Commissioner's offices on Brighton Street. Whilst in Ramsey, the candidates vying for the single seat are Gillian Corlett, Christopher Martin and John Powell. The vacancy in the South Ward was left empty after a series of local authority elections in April. Only residents living in the South Ward will be able to vote this time around, and it will also be on the 17th of July from 8am until 8pm at the Town Hall. Douglas Council and Jobie commissioners will not be holding by-elections as only one person in each area has come forward. In the capital, where a single seat was vacant, Arwood Hall will become the new representative in Central Ward, joining Mark Wheeler and Natalie Byron-Tier. Meanwhile, James Allenson has joined the board in Jobie, but one seat there still remains unfilled. He joins Darren Hope, Yasmin Cowell and Philip Corkill, who were elected in April. No candidates stepped forward to join Balaff commissioners. They will continue to operate with three board members.
Emma Draper reporting there. Thank you very much for that. And now, have you heard of the Innovation Challenge? It's in its third year and it's a government-led initiative by the agencies within the Department for Enterprise, which sees people from all over the world bidding to be a finalist and convince a panel of judges that their idea has what it takes to be a success. The finale is this Thursday and six countries are represented among the 15 finalists. To explain more about the challenge, here's the head of innovation for Digital Isle of Man, Kurt Rosen.
When we started off, this was all about fintech. I won't go into what fintech is specifically, but it was looking at financial technology that was being used in banks and places like that. And the Isle of Man had no real reputation for doing that. So we thought the best way to actually go and put us on the map was to invite people here who were doing innovative things. So you might call that a bit of a PR exercise, but it's a kind of necessary thing to do to lay out your stall and say, we're interested in these things. And an innovation challenge just seemed a perfect way to do that, because then we weren't prescribing about what was going to come over our doorstep, but we were looking for things that would attract attention, things that people here would go, wow, I'd never thought of doing that. And similarly, people from outside could come to the Isle of Man and learn about our community.
And presumably it's about those processes, particularly with fintech, that really streamline things and generally make life easier?
Generally, yes. You kind of put these things into two categories. There are things that are transformational. So they're taking something you already do and making it more efficient or making it easier to use. And then there are some things that come along in these that you've never even thought of doing. They're an original packaging of other ideas or completely new things. And that's the kind of wonder of this. I'm an aged person in this industry. So kind of 38 years of watching innovations come through, you think nothing new can come across the doorstep. Every year I've been surprised with this. I've never thought of doing that. And if I haven't thought of doing it, then lots of other people haven't. So that's what's really exciting about it.
That's Kurt Rosen from Digital Isle of Man speaking to Beth Espy about the Innovation Challenge. More details can be found at manxradio.com. Now, Callum Gorn was crowned the winner of the 2025 Parish Walk over the weekend. Manx Radio spoke with him at the finish line, along with Samantha Bowden, who won the women's race and finished joint second overall.
The idea of winning it, me personally, is nice, but I would like it to sort of help hopefully inspire somebody else, because I only started race walking in January 23. So I'm a big believer. I coach kids at Peel Clothwork at school and have coached a lot of kids. And I truly believe that you can achieve anything if you're willing to put the work in. That's sort of the bigger picture for me. But yes, it's very nice to win.
Yeah. What inspired you to take up the parish walk?
A number of things, to be honest. I got attracted to the event, but my brother lost his son in 2022. So I always thought that he was the strongest guy that I ever knew. And I wanted to be able to put myself through something that isn't even 0.1% of what he went through every single day. And I managed to complete it in 2022. And then sort of from there, I was sort of Richard Creer and Matthew Haddock pointed me in the direction of my amazing coaches, Martin and Graham Young and Michael George. And sort of we've just gone from there. Just the belief when someone has belief in you, it makes a massive difference. And I can't be more thankful to them for everything that they've done for me.
Second overall, first lady, personal best. How are you feeling?
Really good, thank you. It wasn't quite what I expected. I only thought coming along the prom that I'd get the PB, but another first lady and second overall, you can't ask for much more.
And it's the second time you've come over the line with Tristan as well. Like, how's that? Like, egging each other on as you go.
It's just crazy. We met each other at the same time that we met each other last time. And then, yeah, just brought each other through to the finish. I think we definitely helped each other and pulled each other along because we both had a few rough patches.
Callum Gorn and Samantha Bowden, big congratulations. I wonder if I could do a parish walk. I'm not entirely sure. Darren, what do you reckon? You could do a parish walk?
No, definitely not.
Absolutely not. what have you got for us? Tell us the latest sport.
Yeah, starting with the Southern 100, the lineups have been confirmed for the races at Balaun. TT winners Michael Dunlop, Davy Todd, Dean Harrison, as well as Ryan and Callum Crowe will all take part. Taking place from the 7th to the 10th of July, solo riders include Dominic Herbertson, Mike Brown, Paul Jordan and Jamie Coward, with local riders Nathan Harrison, Mikey Evans, Joe Yeardsley and Marcus Simpson will compete too. Elsewhere, 19 sidecar outfits are set to take on the circuit. Joining the Crow brothers are Peter Found and Jevon Walmsley, who are returning to action following their accident during the TT. You can see the full lineup and race schedule on the Manx Radio website. Staying with two wheels, and the Castletown Crit made its return at the weekend despite some bad weather. Taking place on Sunday afternoon, there was a close finish in the women's race as Sophie Smith managed to edge Emily Brighton by just over 2 seconds to take the top spot. The men's B race also saw a photo finish as Simon Harding held on to beat Tom Broadbent by 0.98 seconds, while Harry Kinley finished in third. However, unfortunately, the men's final A race had to be cut short due to incoming rain. However, the weather did not stop a result as after 9 laps, as Adam Kelly was crowned the winner as he beat Zachary Walker and Callum Salisbury by 7 seconds. In golf, in the Allerman Championship qualifiers took place at the weekend. Daryl Callister topped the men's leaderboard with a score of 7 under par. Chris Neal and Mark Harrison made up the top three, while defending champion Robert Noon finished 7th with 3 over par. Meanwhile, in the women's qualifiers, Emma Noon finished first in the standings with a score of 8 over par. Karen Farragher and Shirley Price ended 5 shots behind. And in athletics, a new Manx record was set over the weekend. Amy Christian, who broke the long-standing 400 hurdles set by Cheryl Dunn in 1998, Amy recorded 63.7 seconds, beating Cheryl's time by 0.4 seconds. Cheryl is regarded as one of the best Ireland athletes after representing Great Britain at Salt Lake City Olympic Games in the two-women bobsled. Amy managed to set the time during the Northern League race at Trafford Athletic Club.
Thanks very much, Darren. Well, I just want to go back to the parish walk a little, just a moment. How much training do you think it would take to be able to do a parish walk? Because I've perhaps famously once said that I think I could do it without any training. Of course I can't. But how much training do you reckon goes into that?
I think from what I've heard from friends that have taken part, I think they do about a year of training.
Yeah, that's just not for me, is it? Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Phil Gorn is up next with Agenda. He'll be followed by Chris Kinley from 6. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. Until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.